Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. It's one of my favorite days of the year. I get to talk at length with a handicapper and horse player. And he's been doing... How long have you been doing that now?
Well, I've been interested in the horses for probably... I don't know, 10 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ben Vining. Woo!
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bruce.
You betcha, Ben.
It's a pleasure.
Hey, before we get started, and I think that you deserve and are certainly required to get congratulations for your pick last year.
Oh, thanks. Wasn't a lot of effort required. That horse just looked phenomenal. So American Pharoah.
Yeah. Ben, by the way, took American Pharoah to go all the way last year. And you see, I can understand folks, you know, picking something and just blabbing, saying it's going to go all the way. So, but you had science behind it, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the sheets in front of me, got my eyes. You just knew American Pharoah, at least I did. And he proved me right.
When you, like last year or this year, have you had, first of all, let's ask, I know, you, let's tell folks your family and your information, but you're from this area. You don't work around here anymore, I guess.
No, I moved farther south. Marion, Illinois is where I make my home now.
Uh-huh. Former quarterback at FCHS.
Yeah.
You hate when I bring that up, don't you?
Wasn't the best of times for me.
Yo, that's so. The thing. That's the bad part. You just got whooped around when you were quarterback out there, didn't you?
Yeah, my family called me the Fairfield Tackling General. We had a bunch of probably 185-pound linemen trying to block for me, and that's about what I weighed, trying to scramble around there. So,
tell your family?
My family, I just had last year I made a comment that I was having a baby on the way.
Yeah.
Well, she's 5 months old now.
What'd you name her?
We named her Rosalind Nicole.
Rosalind Nicole.
And believe it or not, Rosalind, we got the name from a racehorse.
I was going to say, I was wondering if you were going to name her Pharaoh something or other.
No, my wife wouldn't let me do anything.
If you made more money on Pharaoh last year, maybe you could have done that.
You never know.
And the bad deal is, the bad deal is you picked Pharaoh, but it went off at the favorite in all three races. And by the time it went to the Belmont, you weren't making much money on that horse.
No, I didn't. We bet a little bit on him in the Derby. Tried to hit the trifecta with him, and it didn't quite pan out. But we didn't really bet any more on him because there was no money to be made. However, I did purchase some $2 win tickets on him from the Preakness track and the Belmont track.
So, oh, did you?
I made a nice little collection as the races went along.
Well, you see, now that's cool. You'll be able to have that to basically show Rosalind as the years pass by. Well, she must be around a Christmas baby, right?
November 18th.
November 18th, yep. Okay. Which horse, I'm trying to remember Rosalind, the horse.
Rosalind was a...
I can remember Rosalind Farms. Isn't there a Rosalind Farms?
I'm not sure about that, but Rosalind was a filly that ran in the Breeders' Cup juvenile filly race a few years ago. We just liked the name. She wasn't much of a standout racehorse. But
Rosalind, as I recall. Is that right?
It's Rosalind.
Oh, okay.
So we pronounce Rosalind, and we name her Rosie. I call her Rosie Rosborn a lot.
That's cool. That's cool.
But yeah, my mom made had an outfit made, the American Pharoah Silks, over Christmas time.
Oh.
And we took full advantage. We went to Keeneland for the first time this past weekend and dressed her in that outfit, and she was the talk of the track.
She was probably the belle of the ball.
That's right. We got lots of pictures with.
I got to tell you, if you're gonna name a little girl after a horse, it's better than I guess you could have named her Ruffian or something like that. That's a tragic story. Or Eight
right.
Bells. you don't want to name a poor kid Eight Bells.
No.
Speaking of tragedy.
Yeah. If I were to name her after a horse that didn't quite make a human name, it'd probably been Zenyatta.
Zenyatta. Yeah, you'd have named her Zenyatta. Wins 20 races in a row or whatever Zenyatta is. Close to that. But that's really cool. Able to keep. See, now that's like me. I don't mean to compare. I don't have a daughter, but I named we named our dog Jocko, and his middle name's Mo.
Yeah.
So Jocko Mo is basically, we're all sick people. Yeah. I like to tell people whenever because I've been looking forward to this chatting with you for a while. I like to tell people that this is the degenerate gambler hour, but we're not really degenerates, are we?
No, not quite.
We control.
Somewhat.
Before we get into the Kentucky Derby, and we will here shortly, tell me what goes into handicapping a race. Now, you've been doing it for, like you said, 10 years, and you've changed your approach over the years somewhat, haven't you?
Right. Well, when I first started, it was just kind of betting exacta boxes. I didn't really know how to read the form. I kind of glanced it over, but the last 3 years, I've really been utilizing all resources possible. But
what's your favorite past performance to use?
I use the Daily Racing form. That's just the one I've used, and that's the one I know.
Is it the one with comments? Do you like comments in your past performances? Because I personally do, but that's me.
Well, they have the comment lines, but if you go on, they have a formulator is a thing that you can use on DRF, and they have, I guess, expert handicappers that give their comments, and I don't like to read them because, you know, they might change my mind or get me liking a horse that I don't really
I just like the comment line in the BrizNet or something like that that tells you, reminds you of stuff, brings stuff to your attention.
Right.
Like finished strong last time or something
definitely, you got to look at that. But I watch a lot of replays, too. It takes lot of time, but you got to visually see what's going on.
I know there's a reason. There's a reason that folks focus on the Kentucky Derby, and it kind of is. I'll tell you why I think it is. Because there's 20 horses,
right?
And when there's 20 horses, there is a real, real big chance for big money.
Right? It's chaos. The last year was probably the most formful, trifecta, which is the top three finishers of the race.
You hit three out of four, second, and fourth, or something like that?
First, second, and fourth, and my horse, the fourth place horse, had trouble and didn't quite get to the finish line before the third place horse. He lost by a nose. So, had he done that, I would have won quite a bit of money, but that's horse racing.
Happen. See, and that's the cool part, though. That's horse racing, and you're not hanging on to that with bitterness. And there's probably a little angst, but, you know, you want to win.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you what, that race in particular, we didn't win, but later, that was two races later that we won, we had a superfecta that paid quite a bit, and I keep telling myself, well, if we would have hit the Derby race, I probably wouldn't have even bet the last race. So it
can go either way, yeah. Can it? Okay, so when you started, you were just basically betting exactas, and because that's the easiest thing for folks to do, right?
Well, a lot of people start off exacta box. You know, you throw three horses in, and then you need two
out of
horses.
The three, you get first and second
place. It's easy, it's cheap. You know, that's what I always done. But now my bets get more sophisticated, and I try to use just one horse on top and use other horses behind.
What you call a wheel,
right? And you know, that can be painful too.
Yeah, because it costs more to do.
I spend more to do it because I want to win a lot of money. But then sometimes I look back and go, "Oh man, if I would have just boxed those horses,
yeah,
I could have won."
I wouldn't. Yeah, yeah.
My horse finishes second a lot. So.
Yeah, that stinks. Okay, so whenever you're looking at the Kentucky Derby, how much time have you spent already studying forms? And watching replays, and I guess the reason I ask, there are several horses in this race Saturday that have been in other races already this year that you've already spent time
right.
on, like the Florida Derby, the Santa Anita Derby. For instance, Santa Anita was early. It's February. How much time do you spend on that? Because it's probably 12-horse field. It's probably a pretty good money field too, right?
Right. I mean, I've been writing a blog for – it's called the Red Rage Tailgate. One of my friends, Kayla Melton, who was from Fairfield, now Kayla Stinson, her husband is part of this blog. And so that's kind of kept me focused on the races. I'd been having a top eight.
Now, wait a minute. How could I not know about this? This really bothers me.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't advertise it good enough on the Twitter. But so I've been writing this this article for this blog, leaving the top eight. I give the information of the Derby preps, which are the races that lead into the Derby. And I've been trying to stay focused on that part alone. But the preps have been over now for about 3 weeks, and I've spent hours on them, watching replays, breaking it down, going online and seeing what other people's thoughts are. And
how much time? All right. We're going to go. I tell you what we'll do. Let's go to break, and I want to know how much time you've put into this whenever we come back, and then we'll start talking about the different horses coming up in this weekend. Because Nyquist is probably going to be the favorite, but there's two or three others that I think are as strong or could be strong. I don't know. I don't like I don't like what they did with Nyquist last workout. I thought it was too long. But, you know, that's what one person's different from another. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM after these words. Back in a sec. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. We're talking Kentucky Derby today, as well as Kentucky Oaks we'll talk a little bit about with B.J. Vining, Ben Vining. It depends. How old people are as to whether they know you as B.J. or Ben, doesn't it?
Yeah, growing up, I was my B.J. It kind of transitioned while I was in high school. It went from BJ, and then about my senior year, most people started calling me Ben.
Why is that? You didn't look like a BJ kid anymore or something?
I don't know. BJ is not the most popular name. People
make
fun of that name a little bit.
I hadn't even thought about that part of it.
Even some of my friends just kind of started calling me Ben on their own.
Well, so that's probably those are the friends that you still talk to.
That's right. And then when I went to college, it just was strictly Ben.
I got you. Ben is here talking about the Kentucky Derby. I asked you before we went to break, how many hours do you think you have already put in to studying? And now this is not a vocation. This is an avocation. This is a hobby, because you have a job, and so this is not what you do for a living. Right. How many hours do you think you've put into thinking about the Kentucky Derby?
Well, the Kentucky Derby alone, just in the last 3 weeks, it's probably 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I don't know, a lot of
hours.
Per day, lately probably a couple hours a day.
Okay.
Just studying the sheets, and I'm trying to take a break because I'm not getting anywhere. Every time I look at it, I like a different horse.
So. I can say, is that frustrating?
It's very frustrating. I mean, like last year I had the horse where I'm like, oh, I just know. And the year before, California Chrome, I just know this horse is going to win. Well, this year it's not quite the same.
It's so wide open.
It's wide open, in my opinion. Now, there is an undefeated horse in the race, but
speaking of last year's winner, American Pharoah, did you see the news? Of course, now with the Derby coming around, did you see the pictures and news reports on American Pharoah this week?
I haven't.
He's gained 170 pounds.
He's loving the stud life.
He's loving the stud life. Gained 170 pounds. Of course, he hasn't been paid yet for any stud fees, because he got to have a a living, walking colt.
Yeah.
But as soon as those start happening here within the gestation periods of probably several mares, you're looking at $200,000 every time he gets a walking colt.
Yeah, I seen that.
That's not a bad deal.
I seen that he had about 120 something mares already in fold to him. So that
must be really good. How wonder, I didn't see the number.
That might be high. I just glancing. I think that's close to it.
And when I say he's gained 170 pounds, you got to remember that he was not that big a horse, and he probably at tip top shape. 1,100 maybe? 1,150? Was that what? Did he even get that high?
I never weighed him. I don't
I think I don't think he quite was. He was close to 1,100.
He was kind of a compact horse.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and a machine.
Yeah, awesome.
That was such fun. Did you ever see him up close?
No. Like I said, we were at the Kentucky Derby last year, but we didn't. We never got a
Doty and I. Doty and I went to his curtain call at the last time he was at Churchill Downs, it was like Friday night in June, a week or two after the Belmont. And we were right on the rail. And I was as far from the horse as I am to you, and took pictures and all that kind of thing. But he is small. I mean, I was as tall. I was as tall as the horse's head.
Yeah.
That really surprised me. And then he kind of went jogging away. But while I'm taller, he's faster.
Oh, by plenty.
All right, undefeated horse this year. What's your what's the? I'm not going to ask you for their favorites yet, but I'm going to ask you some of the horses you're looking at in this Saturday's Kentucky Derby.
All right. Well, like I said, there's 20 horses in the field, and I've got it narrowed down to about 10.
Well, that's good.
So I'll try to eliminate half the field. So.
Who have you eliminated?
Well, the point leader is Gunrunner. He accumulated the most points in the prep season.
Doesn't really mean a ton, does it? Could that mean he's running a lot of races? Or
He won the two big prep races down at Louisiana, the Louisiana Derby and the Risen Star Stakes. So you just 100 points to the winning of the last prep race before the Derby. So he got 100 there and then 50 in the race prior, and I think he accumulated some points before then. And
how was the fields? How were the fields?
The fields were okay. A lot of people don't like the Louisiana horses. They say they run slow. But if you look back at the past years, they seem to hit the board a lot. But
yeah.
I just don't think – I think the pace is going to be a little fast for him. He's not fast enough to keep up, and I don't think he's got a strong enough kick.
Who's the jockey? Means an ass-mussing horse.
Florin Giroux is a jockey. I'm pretty sure on that. So he's
really?
It's going to be his first ever Kentucky Derby.
Does that? Do you think that matters for a jockey to be in that big of a spotlight? It has to take, even though the jockey's not the one running,
right?
And folks might think that that the ride is non-essential. No, that means a lot. It seems to me that it means a heck of a lot on how calm a jockey can be in that case, don't you think?
Well, I mean, this is probably the first time he's rode in a 20-horse field, and you got to put your horse in a good spot and try to avoid trouble and make your move when you got a chance. And you probably have the nerves of going, and
well, that's the thing also.
A lot of mistakes can be made.
That's the thing also, Ben, is when you get the chance to make the move, it ain't there for long.
Right.
Because there's another horse, like, probably right beside you that sees the same chance.
Correct. And Giroux, he's more known to be a great turf rider, which you have to, handle the horse well, but his dirt record's not the greatest.
What's the, what would be the difference to a jockey, you think, for the turf versus the versus the dirt? Is it just a sense of comfortability?
Well, in a turf, the horses are they're closely bunched together.
Yeah.
So you have to really know, like I said, pick your spots and know your horse really well. So in the dirt races, they tend to get more spread out.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to think as much. I mean, you can still get the troubled trips, but
nothing wrong with thinking less. nothing wrong. But he's not your pick. You've already eliminated Gunrunner.
Well, I got to eliminate some horses, and he's the point leader. He's the first one I come to. So if he beats me, I guess you just got to have to live with it.
Well, yeah. What else? Who else have you eliminated? And tell me why.
Well, one that a lot of people have eliminated is Oscar nominated. He's a horse that wasn't even Triple Crown nominated. Your horse has to be like nominated
for the races, right?
To be able to run the Triple Crown races, so, or maybe just the Kentucky Derby, but wasn't nominated. So that just tells you there how much the owner, what he thought of the horse. And he happened to win a prep race and get the points. And, you know, he said, I'm going to put him in a Derby. I'm going to win a Derby, even if he probably doesn't belong. So,
well, now what's the other, isn't there, which one is the horse that hasn't won a race yet?
Trojan Nation.
Is he, so, did you eliminate him too?
You know.
See, that just seems crazy to me. It seems crazy. I'm like you. I can see why you're hedging here. Because the horse runs strong.
Right. He didn't perform the greatest. I mean, going into his last race, but you could look at it one of two ways. It was the slowest race for the Wood Memorial, which was the prep race in New York before the Derby, but you know, he was coming on strong. It was a muddy track. He could be just getting good. And his sire was the sire of a Street Sense, which was a Kentucky Derby winner. So
yeah.
I guess he's got that going for him.
And that means a lot. I mean, of course, it's a sport of breeding,
right?
For crying out loud. That's why they're paying $200,000 for American Pharoah to go out to the motel with another with a mare. What other horses are you eliminating?
Well, I don't like Lanny. He's a Japanese horse.
Are you, racist?
not quite, but you know, he just seems a little bit slow.
Japanese trained too,
right? He's bred in America, but you know, they shipped him over, and he hasn't done a lot wrong. But you just watch his replays. And I tried to make a good case for him, and he just looks slow.
Now, did he race? He raced in the over there at UAE, didn't he?
Right. He won the Dubai Derby,
but not the Dubai
the
Classic.
UAE Derby at Dubai.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it was a 7-horse field, and there's two fillies in the race, and you know, it wasn't a strong field, and he barely won. But
okay, who else?
He's just not for me.
Lanny, Lani is out. Who else we knocking out?
And this is a big one. Tom's Ready is a horse that I don't like. The trainer has had two long shots in two of the last 3 years.
Hit Dallas Stewart.
Right, get second in the Kentucky Derby. Last year he didn't have a runner. However, he took a horse and got second in the Preakness at Huge Odds. So, you know, I watched the replays of the horses he had in the Kentucky Derby just to see if there was any similarities, and I don't think there's a lot of similarities. Tom's Ready looked like he was going backwards towards the end of the Louisiana Derby, which tells me he's not going to be able to go a mile and a quarter.
You know,
so.
I guess my question is, you just never know what's going to happen in this race. I always wonder why an owner will pay the $60,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is to enter a horse in a race like this whenever it looks like it's going backwards in the Louisiana Derby. I mean, I guess you got to have faith in the horse, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that or you're saying, hey, let's go to the Derby and
let's party all week long, and I've got the money to do right. it.
However, the owners do have another horse in here called Motom. So the owners have two horses running. So you could say, well, you know, one of them's better than the other. Let's just go with this horse. But,
right.
You know, they're going to go with both of them.
Anybody else you're kicking out?
It's tough to... I would say Shagoff. I don't really like that horse much. I know he hasn't done much wrong. He's lost one race, but he looks a little slow for me too.
When's the last time you bet on a horse based on the color of the jockey slicks and that kind of stuff?
I can't recall the last time I've probably done that.
When's the last time you bet on a horse because of the name?
I mean,
a lot of people do that.
I do that,
especially in this race.
So, I do that occasionally, but probably not intentionally. I try not to look at the names because if I do like a name,
you're looking at numbers.
I'll try to start making cases for the horse.
I'm exactly the same way. I feel terrible looking at names, and you know, and then I think about it, these people put a lot of thought in these names, for some of these people, they're very close to these horses and fond of these horses, and I just look at them as a number.
Right.
It's going to be the six. It's going to be the eight or something like that.
Since we're on the topic, my wife's pick this year is Majesto.
Majesto.
Yeah, and because of the name, I read the names to her. I said, "Who do you want this year?" And she said, "Majesto."
Is that how that's pronounced?
Yeah, Majesto. I believe that's
Spelled differently. I mean, I would.
They're saying Majesto, Majesto, but
Majesto.
I think it is Majesto. I'm not.
Is it Spanish?
I would say so, but I don't.
Well, there are a lot of folks who there are a lot of folks who might want to bet on Creator. Because a lot of people they might think of their chance to
betting
on the Creator.
I did see a poll that said who would the Pope vote for? And
the Creator, of course, right?
More Spirit or Creator.
I love the thought. I love the thought of seeing Pope Francis digging on his iPad or something right. like that, right? we're going to tell who's going to win when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back in a sec. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. My guest this morning is Ben Vining. He is a certainly a dedicated amateur. That's the thing. Derby week, there's no way I could probably get a professional handicapper in there because they're all at tracks, aren't they, right now?
Yeah, they're
busy.
They're busy. I've seen some people on Twitter though talking about doing like 3, 4, 5 radio shows and going doing a TV spot. And
I always wonder how Eddie Olchek gets out of his hockey. Because, you'll see him. He's on the hockey all week long, I guess. And he'll probably fly into Louisville. He does a good job. Olchek's pretty good handicapper, I think. At least when you pay. Do you pay attention to who do you follow? Who do you what handicappers and professionals do you listen to and enjoy or pay attention to? Let's put it that way.
Well, I follow a bunch of them on Twitter. One I like is denonymousracing.com. He's a good, I don't know if he's a, call him quite a professional handicapper, but he does, he's a celebrity of the handicapping world. He has guys come on his site and give their picks and they have a lot of long shots. There's a guy, Joe T on the side is his Twitter handle, and he seems to come up with quite a bit of long shots that, he'll call it out, and I'm like, whatever, he's not going to do good. And sure enough.
Joe T on the side.
Yeah.
So, see, I didn't know about that guy. I've read the anonymous handicapper before, but I never really paid all that much. Any of the TV guys you like? Randy Moss?
I don't follow him on Twitter. I don't even know if he's on Twitter. I do like to watch the NBC broadcasts when they do those. They're a lot more enjoyable than the handicapping networks.
Well, that's true. That's true, because and I do admit that I will occasionally watch the races during the day on because when I finally found it in high definition. I will also freely admit I'm a high def snob. If I want to watch horse racing, I want to be able to see it. But those guys, they'll give their picks, but then they never come back and say whether they were right or wrong.
Well, you don't want to do that.
Well, if you're wrong,
One thing I've noticed about following on the guys on Twitter, and I tell my wife this because I get a little annoying, but it's the horse world. Everybody's putting their money up. It's all about they're bragging big time when they hit a race.
That's
right. And then when they lose a race, it's always the jockey's fault, or if this wouldn't have happened, I would have won this much money, or I can't ever win a race.
Yeah, those are the guys you don't want
to listen. 5 minutes ago, you're bragging about how great you were.
Yeah, those are the guys. They're not worth a hoot. All right. There are a lot of good horses we need to talk about. Who do you like? Give me some of the names you like, and then here in about 5 minutes, you'll pick a winner. How's that sound?
All right. Well, like I said, I've narrowed
it down.
Give
me a sleeper.
A sleeper. You know, I like
long shot sleeper, the big money.
Here's a big, big long shot that not a lot of people are talking about, but Mahesto.
Like Mahesto? The wife's horse, huh?
My wife's horse. There's not a ton to like about him if you're just glancing at the past performances, but you know what? The Florida Derby, I think, was a lot stronger than what people are giving it credit for, and Mahesto finished a couple lengths behind Nyquist. Now, Mahesto did run the rail the whole way, so he went the shortest way around the track. But, Nyquist, top of the lane, didn't pull away from him either.
Nyquist
is the favorite of the Derby. And, if you're going to say Nyquist is probably the most likely winner, Mahesto didn't seem to run too bad. And after the wire, a lot of people paid attention to the gallop outs, and Mahesto went right on by Nyquist.
Just kept on going, didn't he?
Just kept on going. So, I think he can keep going, and he might just chug along and get fourth, third, second. But
is it one of the things with Mahesto you got to watch out? You're going to need a slower pace for that horse, aren't you?
No, you're going to need a fast pace. Mahesto's a little bit of a closer, yeah. But if my calculations are showing that he's not going to be too far back, he's not one of the deep closers or the third tier closers. But he should be mid pack, and if the horses up front get tired and he kicks it in gear a little bit, he might sit a good trip and be right there.
What other horses do you like? Well, what kind of number are you thinking you're looking at Mahesto? He's going to be 30, you think?
Over 30 to 1, probably. 30, 40 to 1.
Yeah.
So, I don't think he's going to win, but I'm going to try to bet the trifecta or super, which is top three or top four horses, and I'm definitely going to use him.
You're putting him in. Yeah.
I got to. I'm not going to leave him out. So
I don't blame you for that.
Mo Tom's another one. He's a closer. He had to have a scratch or deflection just to get into the race.
Yeah.
But so he was the 21st ranked horse. Horses had all kinds of trouble. Everybody knows about his trouble.
Right.
They say he likes to find trouble, which I don't necessarily.
What if everybody knows about his trouble? What kind of trouble has he been in?
Well,
steroids, drugs, that kind of thing. No. Has he been caught in strip clubs?
Well. So he like two races back, he tried riding the rail and a horse just came over and hit him.
Oh, okay.
And that made me mad because I was rooting for him to win. I had some good money riding on him and I felt like he was going to win, but he didn't. So then the next race, you forgive that last effort, and here, sure enough, again, he was motoring, getting ready to crank it home. And for whatever reason, it seemed like the jockey just yanked him inside, and sure enough, he found trouble again. But it looked like he got going again and passed a couple horses, but, it was too late.
So do you think – now, granted, we're doing this the day of the draw.
Right.
Is it going to be important to Mo Tom to be maybe picked as, one of the end of that second gate or into the second 10, maybe? If he gets picked in the one through five horses, is that trouble for Moto?
I don't think it's necessarily going to be trouble, but he's a closer. He's going to be coming from way back, so the horses are going to get in front of him, regardless if he's inside or outside. But the jockey that's riding Moto, Corey Lannery, is one of the top jockeys at Churchill Downs, and he's not taking him inside anymore.
Sure.
So it might be beneficial that he's towards
the
outside.
New jock too, isn't it?
No, he's the same jockey.
Okay.
The trainer kicked him off and said, I'm going to go ahead and keep you on here. And just basically, you better not do this.
Do it again. Don't do it. Let's talk some of the big names. We've mentioned Nyquist a few times. Undefeated horse, right?
Right.
Last undefeated horse to win this race was, 12, 13 years ago or something like that? Been a little while.
Yeah.
It's been a little while.
They don't tend to win, but they usually go off close to the favorite, and so if you're looking to play against the favorite,
avoid Nyquist.
Avoid the undefeated horse, or avoid Nyquist. Yes.
How about Tell me about, what do you think about Exaggerator? A lot. He's going to get a lot of play.
I like Exaggerator. He's probably going to go off as your second choice. I think the California horses are, and that's where he ran, was California, are the
Santa Anita horse, right?
They're better than, you know, most of the horses, and you know,
is that a shift or is that a cycle?
You know, you could say it was a cycle, but they went to the poly track or the all weather track, and they went back to a regular conventional dirt track now. And since then, you know, American Pharoah.
It's like the poly track toughened them up, didn't it?
Right. Well, that, or they just have the beautiful weather and the hard track, and they're able to train, and you know, or maybe they just have the best trainers out there. You know, Bob Baffert won last year. He's one of the best, and Pharoah didn't prep it in Santa Anita, but he was from California.
Yeah.
And then California Chrome the year before was from California. And I'll Have Another a few years ago was also from California. So
that's the right district then recently.
Right. So
and folks look at recent history when handicappers.
So Exaggerator, impressive win last out, but it was in the mud, and he seems to like the mud. So a lot of people might think, well, if it's not muddy, he can't win. But I don't think so.
How about my Dancing Candy?
Dancing Candy was actually my top horse at one point.
He's still mine. So, I feel bad. I feel bad now that he's not yours.
Right.
since you've put a lot more work into this than I have.
I put some future wagers on him and Exacta wagers before just to try to get some value, but my value is kind of not there anymore. He's probably going to get 30-1, which is what I ended up getting in the future. But he's going to go, and he's going to go fast. And if they can slow him down and maybe the other horses don't run with him, he may wire the field.
Wow.
But, you know, there hasn't really – that's not a good spot to be in the Kentucky Derby up front, right on the lead the whole race. So
that's a long race.
We'll see. And they don't think that the pace is going to be that fast because Dancing Candy's really – him and Outwork are the only true front runners in the field, but – you know, I think they're going to put some pressure on him.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear the Ben Vining guarantee lock pick. This is the one we wait for every year. The one that last year won. He called the Triple Crown 4 days in advance, and if somebody would have bet that day, how much would they have made it? Like bet $2 that day, you'd have probably made 50.
What, for the Triple Crown?
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's quite that much. I know they do like the Triple Crown.
40 probably.
And there's only is there going to be a yes or no? I mean, if you bet specifically on American Pharoah to win the Triple Crown, yes, you're probably going to get some odds. But if I've seen the bet of just yes or no, and their odds aren't that great. Yeah. So
all right, so let's hear it. Let's hear it. What's the Kentucky Derby pick here for Ben Vining?
I believe, or I should say guarantee.
Guarantee. He's guaranteed, ladies and gentlemen. You hear it here first. Take that for what it's worth, for what you're paying for this broadcast right now.
We're going to go with Exaggerator on top.
Okay. Exaggerator to win.
Exaggerator to win. And the next two, if I'm going to go out the trifecta, superfecta, the next two are interchangeable. Creator, Sudden Breaking News.
Likes Creator, and why Sudden Breaking News? We haven't talked about him yet.
Sudden Breaking News was one of the Arkansas preppers, and he can close well. A lot of people knock him for starting his rally too late, and he's finished second. And he finished second in the Oakland, the Arkansas Derby, and Creator won the race.
Yeah.
Creator looks phenomenal. He's a gray horse that a lot of people are probably going to bet just because he's gray, and
he'll get good numbers too, won't he?
Yeah, well, according to Twitter, they're thinking probably at 10, 15-1, maybe.
Okay.
So, you know, that's great for
that's great
coming off a win, impressive as he was. But I felt like Sudden Breaking News was just as good as Creator in that race. He just didn't beat Creator to the lead. So,
what's your superfecta fourth? What's your fourth?
Oh, fourth. I'll go with More Spirit.
More Spirit.
Another California horse. I just think he's just going to sit and sit and sit and just kind of just stride it out and not really make a great move and just kind of hang in there and get fourth.
But. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. We're picking Exaggerator to win, Creator, and Sudden Breaking News in the trifecta as well. If you're asking me of mine with that, I'm taking Danzig Candy.
Yeah. You got a good number on him.
I'm sticking with Danzig Candy, and I probably will throw in Exaggerator in a trifecta. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
and Mo Hayman. I just don't like Nyquist. What do I have against Nyquist? I can't put my finger on it.
A lot of people don't like the horse. It makes no sense. He's undefeated.
It does make no sense.
And a lot of people would love him.
I know what it is. It's because the darn trainer ran him for a mile the other day. It just bugs
me. You didn't like the trainer. You know, I actually was on the fence about Nyquist, and then I went and seen him in person last week and watched the workout live, and I like Nyquist, but...
Not enough.
I'm just going to have to play against the favorite.
Well, it's no value for you,
right.
Is it? Well. Ben, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for
it's a great show every year, and I appreciate it. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Talking in about a week.